Imagine settling into your favorite reading chair, ready to lose yourself in a classic whodunit. But what if the mystery you're reading contains clues to a real-world murder? This is the ingenious premise of Magpie Murders, a literary puzzle box that operates on two distinct levels. We follow Susan Ryland, a London editor, reviewing the latest manuscript from her best-selling but difficult author, Alan Conway. His ninth Atticus Pun detective novel initially presents as a classic 1950s mystery set in the quintessential English village of Saxby-on-Avon, where housekeeper Mary Blackston is found dead at the bottom of the stairs, followed by the brutal decapitation of her employer, Sir Magnus Pye. Just as Susan reaches what should be the story's conclusion, she discovers the final chapters are missing and learns that Conway himself has died, apparently by suicide. As Susan investigates Conway's death, she realizes the fictional murders and the author's demise share disturbing parallels with vital clues embedded in the unfinished manuscript. Saxby-on-Avon is a masterful creation, a picture-perfect English village concealing dark secrets beneath its charming exterior. The medieval church spire, meandering lanes, and imposing Pye Hall create an idyllic setting that masks a web of resentments. Each character harbors motives that Detective Atticus Pond methodically uncovers. Robert Blackiston, who publicly wished his mother would drop dead, his nervous fiancée, Joy, the furtive Reverend Osborne and his wife, Dr. Redwing with her missing poison, antiques dealer Johnny Whitehead with a criminal past, and Clarissa Pye, Sir Magnus's embittered twin who lost her inheritance due to being born 12 minutes later. Dingle Dell, an ancient woodland, serves as both physical and metaphorical dividing line, its twisted paths mirroring the convoluted relationships between suspects. This forest, which Sir Magnus plans to destroy for housing, symbolizes the tension between preservation and progress that splits the community, creating a pressure cooker of conflicting interests that ultimately erupts in violence. As Susan investigates Conway's life and death, she discovers he weaponized his fiction for psychological revenge. His novels served as vehicles for settling personal scores, with characters functioning as thinly veiled caricatures of real people. The bumbling vicar, Robin Osborne, cruelly portrays Tom Robeson, a childhood schoolmate Conway bullied. Detective Inspector Chubb represents Detective Superintendent Richard Locke, whose career details Conway appropriated without permission. Most disturbingly, Conway's sister Claire appears as Clarissa Pye, a lonely spinster whose private suffering becomes public entertainment. Conway's relationships reveal a man who consistently cultivated enemies. He abandoned his wife and son for a much younger partner, erased his family from his public narrative, exploited his sister's unpaid labor before cutting her off, and maintained hostile relationships with his publisher and television producers. Through his actions, both in writing and life, Conway created an extensive roster of potential murderers, each with compelling motives and legitimate grievances against him. Magpie Murders transcends typical mysteries through its intricate engagement with detective fiction conventions. Conway's manuscript contains deliberate references to Agatha Christie that function as carefully placed clues. The novel creates puzzles within puzzles. Locations mirror Conway's real life, character descriptions echo people he knew, and even weather descriptions contain hidden significance. The most brilliant element emerges when Susan discovers that the first letters of Conway's nine Atticus Pund book titles spell an anagram. This leads her to realize Atticus Pund is itself an anagram of a vulgar insult, Conway's elaborate way of secretly mocking his readers and publisher for years. This revelation provides the murder motive. Conway planned to reveal this insulting joke on a popular radio show, which would have destroyed the valuable franchise his publisher had built. The novel's title works on multiple levels, referencing both the traditional nursery rhyme about magpies and the metaphorical collecting of clues that may not be what they seem. Through this web of references, the mystery functions as both compelling narrative and commentary on the genre itself. Magpie Murders brilliantly contrasts fictional murders with real ones. In Conway's manuscript, Atticus Punn solves crimes through methodical deduction, with everything neatly explained at the classic gathering of suspects. When Susan applies these methods to Conway's death, however, she discovers reality is messier, more dangerous, and resists the tidy patterns of detective fiction. Detective Superintendent Locke emphasizes this disconnect when he scolds Susan. Real murders are nothing like fiction. Real killers are thick as shit. They kill because of sex or anger or money. They don't go around leaving bloody clues. His frustration reflects years confronting actual homicides, impulsive acts driven by base motives rather than elaborate schemes. Both mysteries ultimately hinge on complex psychology. In the fictional narrative, Punn discovers Robert Blakiston drowned his brother as a child, then later murdered Sir Magnus to prevent discovery of this childhood crime after his mother's accidental death. In the contemporary timeline, Susan deduces that publisher Charles Clover killed Conway to prevent him from revealing an insulting anagram that would destroy their profitable series, a murder born not from elaborate plotting, but from panic and wounded pride. By the novel's conclusion, both mysteries are solved, but at devastating personal and professional costs. In the fictional timeline, Atticus Punn solves his final case while facing terminal cancer, a bittersweet victory shadowed by his approaching death. In the contemporary timeline, Susan's investigation leads to Charles's arrest and the exposure of his crimes, but the ripple effects prove catastrophic. Cloverleaf Books collapses, Susan finds herself professionally ostracized, and her vision is permanently impaired from Charles's violent attack. The epilogue, set 2 years later in Crete, reveals Susan's transformed life. Married to Andreas and helping manage his modest beachfront hotel, she's found unexpected peace away from London's literary world. In a moment rich with dark irony, Susan spots a tourist reading Magpie Murders by the hotel pool and griefly imagines herself pushing Conway from his tower. This disturbing flash reveals how prolonged exposure to murder, even in literary form, can normalize thoughts of violence, perfectly encapsulating how the line between understanding evil and contemplating it can become dangerously thin. Magpie Murders explores how stories shape our understanding of the world. Like the titular magpie, Conway collected fragments from his life and arranged them into fiction, sometimes maliciously embedding subtle accusations within seemingly innocent detective fiction. This literary Russian doll of nested mysteries invites readers to become detectives, searching both narratives for connections and clues. The novel pays homage to Golden Age detective fiction while subverting these conventions, creating a sophisticated exploration of storytelling itself. The parallel investigations, one fictional, one real, show how our consumption of mysteries influences our understanding of actual crimes. We enjoy mysteries for the puzzle and resolution. Yet the most dangerous mysteries are those that leap off the page into real life, where consequences can be deadly. The line between fiction and reality is more permeable than we imagine. Stories can both illuminate truth and obscure it, sometimes fatally.